Okay, here we go. I got the recorder on. Okay, obviously we're talking about peace today, and peace is not just the absence of war, but peace really is the absence of strife and turmoil in your life. And really, that's what God wants you to have. And if we can go to Philippians chapter 4, we'll go to kind of the seminal verse on peace, or at least one of them. Actually, there's plenty of seminal verses on peace, because God is the God of peace. Jesus is what? The Prince of Peace. And the word peace is contained in the salutation, which is the beginning, right? Salutation, the greeting in every, pretty much every church epistle, maybe not Hebrews, but the rest of them, peace is there in pretty much all of them. Grace and peace. So here we are in Philippians chapter 4 in verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing. And this is really one of my favorite verses, because the word careful literally means to be anxious. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything. And worry is the opposite of peace, because peace is the lack of stress in your life. That's what peace is. Peace is the lack of stress. Sometimes I've called it undisturbed believing, contentment, tranquility. Those are other words for peace. Anxiety is the opposite of peace. Worry is the opposite of peace. And God doesn't want you to be worried. So here it says in Philippians 4:6, be careful, be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. So if you got something you're worried about, pray about it. And then you know what you do? Forget about it. How about that? You know, it's funny, people talk about, oh, I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray and I'm going to pray. Well, that's okay. You know, you do what you need to do. If that's what you need to do, you pray and pray and pray. But sometimes, you know what? You pray about something one time and then it's over. It's done. Really. Think about it. All you got to do is pray one time and God will answer your prayer. You know, you don't have to pray over and over and over and over and over and over. Now, if you want to, that's okay. There's also a verse that says to pray continually. Not continuously. Continuously is all the time. Continually is when it's appropriate. And so one of the things I say, like for instance, I say to people, you know, if you're worried about something, let's say you're worried about, you know, your job or a bill or, you know, somebody who's close to you who's sick, for instance, you know, then what you do is every time they come to your mind, you pray for them. And or if you speak in tongues, what I tell people is speak in tongues until the anxiety goes away, okay? And then when it goes away, you stop. But when it comes back, you do it again until it goes away. That's how you handle things if you're concerned about them. All right. So our answer to stress and worry is prayer. And then you know what you do. Then you go. Then verse 7 says, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And that word keep, the Greek word means to protect or to guard. God will protect your heart. God will guard your heart. The peace of God, which passes understanding. It's so great, it's so full, that you're like, wow, I can't believe I'm so calm. Have you ever had that happen where something should be stressing you out? Something should be driving you crazy? And you're just fine. You're calm, you're cool, you're collected. You know, have you ever had that? Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm fine. Wow, I should be all stressed out. Anybody ever had that happen? I should be all stressed out. But I'm not.
And everybody around you is upset
that you're not showing. Yeah, what's wrong with you? Do you not care? I've heard that, right? I've heard that. People, well, do you not care about this? No, I'm just not worried about it. So that's the peace that passes understanding. That's what you can have. That, you know what? When something's bothering you, if you want peace in your life, you take your cares and your worries and you give them to God, and then you let God take care of you. All right, let's talk about the rug. The rug. See the rug? You can't. Sorry, people on Skype, you can't see the rug. We have a new rug. And Rosa's got a great story to tell about the new rug. So I'm going to let her, huh? Well, the rug pertains to the Bible. We're going to talk about the rug because the rug goes with the Bible. So, Rosa, tell the story about the rug.
The rug belonged to Mrs. Lax.
You know who Lax Furniture? Miss, you know, Lax Furniture. Well, tell them. Start from the beginning where Rick and Chris.
Well, last Sunday, Rick had a thought from God to call Lax because they want furniture and also needed some furniture for our beach house. And so he didn't tell anybody, by the way. He just had a thought to call Lax to see they sell furniture. Yeah, repo furniture. And so he had his wife call the next day, which would be Monday. So she called on Monday and talked to Mrs. Lax. And she goes, well, as a matter of fact, we do have some furniture, and we're having a sale on Thursday, but I'm inviting you to come preview the day before. And she says, well, can I bring my friend? And they said, yes, bring your friend. So I went with them. And I'm thinking, you know, it's going to be expensive because it's at a furniture store. Well, it wasn't expensive at all. I bought a whole bedroom suit, king size, for $400. Two nightstands, headboard, dresser, mirror, the whole kabang. Anyway, and other pieces.
Like a $2,000 bedroom suit for $400, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And what about the rug? We haven't heard about the rug yet. She's always looking for a rug for some reason.
I actually was looking for a rug for the beach house, but the rug she was selling was not beachy. But she's like, oh, you got to look at this rug. But you got to look at this rug. And she kept insisting that I look at this rug. And I was like, no, I don't think I want the rug. It's not beachy because my whole mind was to just furnish the beach house, not my house. She goes, no, but I think you're really going to like this rug. This was her rug that she downsized in her house. And it's several thousands of dollars that she gave it to me for $200.
Wow. So Rosa got a rug that would cost $5,000 or $6,000, right? We looked online. A real hand-woven Persian rug that we're sitting on. That's what? How big is it, you think? 10 by 13.
Yeah.
And it's a $5,000 or $6,000 rug, and Rosa got it for how much? $200. And so Rosa's just peachy about the rug. And we have a bedroom. We have a bed that Rosa had bought used a while back that was from Lax. And she found the dresser that matched it. And how much was the dresser? $200?
Like $160.
And it's like a, how much, $1,000 dresser? Stuff we bought on Craigslist or used that she went to Lax on two different beds. They had the dresser there.
So one, you could say, with coincidence, but the other one is like. Oh,
so it happened twice, plus the bedroom suit that she got for $400, plus the rug, plus a bunch of other junk that she bought. Stuff. I'm sorry, not junk. None of it's junk. It's all stuff. Okay. So anyway, that's the rug. That's Rosa's praise report for this week. Okay, well, let's keep moving on, okay? So here we are in Philippians chapter 4, and we're talking about the peace of God will guard your heart, will protect your heart, right? And I want to show you a couple of examples of where the word, because of the word keep, you're like, keep? What the heck does that mean? Well, you know, good old King James, remember the word keep, remember a castle and a keep, right? A fortress, a keep is a fortress. So that's what it means. It will protect or guard your heart. It'll protect your heart. I mean, think about it. You need something that when things are going on around you, when there is a whirlwind of turmoil, and sometimes when I pray for people, you know, sometimes I can see, it's like you're in the middle of this tornado, right? And there's all these things, these problems flying around in this big circle. And sometimes you just want the wind to stop and the things to drop to the ground. And that's what can happen. God can put you in that place where none of that matters, where none of that bothers you. That's what God can do for you. God can give you that kind of peace. If you look at 2 Corinthians real quick, chapter 11, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32, says, "In Damascus, the governor under Aretas, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison, desirous to apprehend me." That kept, that's the word, that's the same type of word, guarded. Okay? And you don't have to turn there, but 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, I'll just go there and read that right quick also. 1 Peter 1, 5 says, "Who are kept or protected or guarded by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time." So there's another example. So, God will protect you. God's peace can protect your heart, can protect you. So let's go to Matthew chapter 6 now. Matthew chapter 6, and look at some of God's blessings and how God can give you peace. Matthew chapter 6, very familiar verses, one of my favorite areas. Matthew chapter 6, in verse 25. And the concept of peace goes along with, many times you see them together. Remember that word in Philippians was to take no thought, to not be worried? Well, it's used here again, the same word, to not be worried, here in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25. "Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Don't be worried about your life. "What you shall eat, what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on." Yeah, you know, see those kids walking around the mall with those jeans that are all ripped up, you know, those ripped jeans. You know, they need to read this verse. They don't have to walk around in ripped jeans. God will give them jeans that don't have holes in them. Don't you know that? You don't have to buy those jeans with holes in them. God will give you jeans without holes in them. Yeah, the jeans with holes are more expensive. Yeah, remember when I was young, they had the stonewashed jeans that were all worn out. They were pre-worn, pre-washed, pre-worn out. They were acid washed. Yeah, you buy jeans that are all worn out and they cost more than the regular jeans. And some, yeah, then you get those jeans that look like somebody just changed out a transmission in a car. There's jeans that you buy that look like you just rebuilt a transmission. Those were jeans you were embarrassed to wear to school, and now that's what everybody wants to wear. Old, worn-out, filthy jeans. You don't have to put up with old, worn-out, filthy jeans. It says right here, don't be worried about what you're going to wear. "Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, or yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than the meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you a little bit better than those birds?" Doesn't God regard you just a little bit better than those birds out there? Absolutely. "Which of you, by worrying," that's what that means, "by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature?" Which of you, by worrying, can, you know, really, you can't, what it means is you can't accomplish anything. Really, worrying accomplishes nothing. "Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit unto his stature?" You can't. You really can't. Worrying really affects nothing. It really does nothing. It does no good. When you're worried, you pray to God, you give it to God, you cast your cares on God, and then you forget about it and let Him take care of it. And it takes a little, you know, it takes a little practice sometimes. We're not all perfect at that yet. I used to be, but I'm not anymore. And I've talked to you about this, where people worry about what might happen, the possibility, rather than... And that's where people really kind of get messed up sometimes, is they get worried about what might happen. Okay, the NIV, and I heard Vern say this earlier, in NIV here says, "Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" No, you can't. You're just going to waste an hour worrying. Verse 28, "And why take thought?" Why take ye thought? Again, there's the same word. "Why worry about your clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought," again, don't worry, "saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of these things." See, God knows what your needs are. But do what? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And then there's the verse that Darlene quoted. Take, therefore, no thought. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, but these are things that, I mean, they're the necessities of life, and I think you can plug in any necessity of life that you have. You need a car, right? You need a place to live. You need a car with air conditioning, okay? In South Texas, you need a car with air conditioning. You need food, clothing. I mean, but think about the necessities of life that God will give you. God knows what your needs are, and God will take care of you. Yeah, every church epistle pretty much begins with peace and grace. That God wants you to know that He is the God of peace. God wants you to know that He is the God of grace. God wants you to be at peace. God doesn't want you to be worrying. He doesn't want you to be all stressed out about life. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. Actually, first let's go to Romans chapter 1 and I'll just show you what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1, I just want you to see the greeting in Romans, the salutation. And pretty much every church epistle has grace and peace at the beginning of the church epistle, and sometimes even at the end. But all of them have it at the beginning. See Romans chapter 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated under the gospel of God. And I'm going to skip down. Verse 7. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Every one of these epistles starts out with the word grace. God wants it important. He wants you to know that He wants you to have peace. I'm sorry, peace and grace. I said grace. They all start with grace and they all start with peace. God wants you to have peace in your life, no matter what's going on around you, no matter what kind of stress, no matter what kind of turmoil. God wants you to be at peace. And how you get peace, of course, is to go to God with your troubles and trust Him that He is going to deliver you. And you know how you keep it? You know how you keep peace? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 26. Here's how you keep it. And you're going to like this verse. This is a really familiar verse to a lot of people. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. So you want to keep the peace in your life? You continue to focus on God and trust God. Here he is, he's speaking to God. He's saying to God, you will keep him, and I'll point to Basil. God will keep Basil in perfect peace because Basil's mind is stayed on God, on you, and because he trusts in God. You see that? That's what it says there. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. So, to get peace, you give your problems to God. To keep the peace, you continue to focus on God and trust God to take care of your problems. And don't worry about what might happen. Don't worry about what might happen. Because usually it doesn't happen, you know? Okay, back to Romans. Chapter 5. And I'll just give you some verses here. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20, calls God the God of peace. I'll go to Galatians here in a minute. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, it says that we are called unto peace. You know what? We'll just look at that here in a minute. But let's go to Romans chapter 5. So now we know how to get peace, and now we know how to keep it, right? Therefore, chapter 5, verse 1. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Bullinger, who you've heard me talk about some, he says this verse should be rendered this way. Being justified by faith, therefore we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. One of the things that can bring you peace is knowing who you are in Christ. Knowing that God has really set you at His right hand. Where you're a position in Christ, the fact that you have righteousness, the fact that God has justified you. We say, just as if you've never sinned. Justified. Just as if you've never sinned. God has justified you. That can bring you peace. That can bring you... You can say, wow, God really does love me. God really is going to take care of me because of who He sees me. He sees me as Christ. So being justified by faith, therefore, we can have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And remember, peace is not just an absence of anxiety. Peace is an absence of conflict with other people, which we can have. And it's also an absence of conflict with God. We can have peace with God. We're not in conflict with God. Look at verse 10 here in Romans chapter 5. For if when we were enemies, and who were we enemies with? With God. You were an enemy of God. But God has done what? He's brought you into His household, into His family, and He's made peace with you. So you're not in conflict with God anymore. And we're also not in conflict with each other. I'll show you that here in just a sec. So if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. So, reconciliation with God, or peace with God. And let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. And this here specifically is talking about the Jews and the Gentiles, okay? But it applies to everyone. Verse 14, chapter 2, verse 14. For He is our peace, who has made both, talking about Jew and Gentile, one body, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the division, or even could be rendered the hatred that people can have one for another, right? Even the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, for to make in Himself of two, twain, one new man, so what? Making peace. So God not only gave us peace with Him, but He gave us peace with each other. No matter who you are, no matter what that person is, you know, I love to see, you think about, we use this example of, Megan and Miguel, right? The rapper, I mean, this dude was selling drugs a few years ago. He won my friend. But you know what? God has brought us together and given us peace. And has given us that bond in common. What a cool thing. Funny, we're sitting over that table where Becky is. And, we're sitting there and Rick's sitting there. And Megan's telling us about how they went to Arizona. And he goes, yeah, that's when we decided to stop selling drugs and start living for God. That was just a couple of years ago. You were there, right? I think we were there. I think Andy and I were there. Yeah, Rosa and Andy and I were there. Yeah, so 2010, I think, December, yeah, a couple of years ago.
Me?
Time flies. I mean, you think about the people that the body of that Christ has brought together. I mean, holy cow, Okay, back to Romans chapter 8. And really, at some point, I'm just going to have to stop because I could go on. I could probably teach for another hour on peace. There's so much in the Word about it. I'm not going to. Don't worry. You guys can stop. Stop shaking. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. You want to have peace, you need to walk by the Spirit. Here it is in verse 6. For to be carnally minded, and that's walking by the flesh, Romans 8, 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Having a peaceful life. You want to continue in peace, you walk by the Spirit. Now let's go to Romans chapter 15. Okay, so Romans 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. God wants you completely filled with joy and peace. Isn't that cool? God wants you filled with joy. Filled with joy. You know, really, joy is an inside job. Joy is what you produce for yourself. It's said that happiness kind of comes from the outside. Joy comes from the inside. Joy is what you produce to make yourself at ease and happy and content and peaceful. And so God wants you filled with joy. Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Like, we'll just go through these. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be ye thankful. Here's a good one. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 33. 14:33, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. Galatians chapter 5, talking about the fruit of the Spirit. You can't really talk about peace without talking about the fruit of the Spirit. And the fruit is what? Think about what fruit is. We've got a lime tree and we've got an orange tree. And, you know, I love to use the, you know, you've heard me use the analogy that Ken Petty uses, that every once in a while he takes his baseball bat and he goes outside and he beats on his tree with the baseball bat to make it bear fruit, right? That's what you have to do to a tree to make it bear fruit, to go beat on it. No, it just, you water it, you fertilize it, and what happens? Gee, there's a tree full of oranges all of a sudden. There's a tree full of limes. There's a tree full of apples. It just occurs naturally. Well, as you walk in the Spirit, God will give you the fruit of the Spirit. It will occur naturally. All of a sudden, it'll just be there. And one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. That it will just, wow, here it is. You didn't even have to try. So here we are. Verse 22, are you in Galatians 5:22? But the fruit of the Spirit. And these are things that will just occur naturally. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. You can't ever say a bad word about any of this stuff. Peace. And we could go through these one at a time, but we don't have the time to. But certainly one of the fruits of the Spirit is peace. That you will have peace in your life as you just do God's Word. And the rest of these too. One of them is joy. Isn't that great? Long-suffering, where you put up with people. Love, the love of God. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. Meekness is the ability to be molded, to be taught. That's one of the things you'll get. You're not all high and mighty. Temperance, self-control. These are the fruits of the Spirit. God wants you to have each one of these, including peace. Colossians chapter 1. And we're just about done here. Colossians chapter 1. So here we are in Colossians chapter 1. Colossians, man, this Colossians chapter 1 is just socked solid full of great biblical truths, man. Just all kinds of great stuff here. We could read the whole thing, but we're not going to. Okay, let's go to verse 10. Let's start at verse 10. So here's what Paul wants you to do. Here's what God wants you to do. You might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to the glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which has made us meet or adequate to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. The evil forces of darkness God has delivered from us. He's delivered us from darkness. And has translated or transported us into the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the visible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created, that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell. Talking about Jesus Christ. And having made peace through the blood of His cross. See, we get to peace eventually. And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you people that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. He's brought you together with Jesus Christ, even though you were enemies. Think about that. You were an enemy of God, and God still saved you. Trust me, you didn't deserve it. I know I didn't. And you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled in the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and, listen to this, unreprovable Now, what does that mean? Unreprovable. Unreprovable means nobody can blame you for anything. Because when you reprove somebody, you're correcting them for what they did wrong, right? Think about that. Unreprovable. Not only, I mean, think, and really he's saying it, God, and let me tell you what God does. God does this for emphasis, where God will say the same exact thing in several different ways, okay, for emphasis. And so here's what God has said about you. He said you're holy, here in verse 22. He says you're unblameable, and he says you're unreprovable in his sight. Those are the same thing. Holy is the same thing as unblameable, is the same thing as unreprovable. God wants you to really understand how He sees you. That He sees you white as snow. White as the new fallen snow. Huh? What did you say?
You said, why does it always have to be white?
Why does it always have to be white? Should it be brown? God sees you brown. Okay, Rosa just said the best thing that she... Rosa said, as long as the snow is not yellow, okay? I'm going to keep that in the recording just so people will know about that. That comment will be preserved. So that's what God... That's where you are with God. And you can have peace from that. That God has given you peace. And so let's go back to Philippians chapter 4, okay? And read those verses again to wrap it up here. So yes, God has made you holy, God has made you unblameable, and God has made you unreprovable. I'm going to see what another version of the Bible says. Let's see what the New Living Translation says that verse is. Here it is. The New Living says, as a result, He has brought you into His own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before Him without a single fault. The New Century says, but now God has made you His friends again. Did this through Christ's death in the body so that He might bring you into God's presence as people who are holy with no wrong and with nothing of which God can judge you guilty. Does that bring you peace to hear that? Boy, that should. That you know that when you come to God with your problems that He is going to always be there to answer you. He's never going to put you on call waiting. The line's never going to be busy. He's never going to be out of town, huh? He's never going to be out of town. He's never going to look at the caller ID and go, "Oh man, I'm not going to talk to her." And He doesn't hold a spoon to swat you. Okay, what percentage of people do you have in your cell phone so when they call, you don't want to answer the phone? You only keep them in your phone so you know not to answer the phone. God doesn't do that to you. God looks at the caller ID and He goes, "Oh, I'm going to talk to this person." When you call God, He's always going to be there to answer the phone. Okay? So, in verse 6, here we are back in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Be anxious for nothing. Don't be worried about anything, but in everything. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. By prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And that's why when you hear us pray, we pray like we've already received it. Thank you, Father, how you have healed me already. Thank you, Father, how you have taken care of my needs already. Thank you, Father, how you have already... Whatever it is. That's why you hear us pray with thanksgiving. With everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard and protect your hearts and your mind through Christ Jesus. Amen.